Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, right between Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant. Eric Meehan in studio with us.
Hello.
Celebrating Mardi Gras Day.
Hello. Yeah. Man, I came in and you guys already got things flowing. I mean, it's great. It's yeah. A good atmosphere to come into.
Earlier, we lifted up our shirts.
I'm glad I missed that. No one needs to see.
No, not at all.
It's funny, just to break away from alcohol for a minute, but one of our first signs of spring, just like the first sign of winter, is a tiny white snowflake coming down. It is people taking off their shirts on Hammond Street and the blinding whiteness of that. Yes. And indeed, I was informed by my manager that we've had some sightings already, so... Spring's here, guys.
Spring is here. And is it just me, or does it seem that the people who are prone to do that...
Oh, the
well
worst choices.
Yeah.
The worst choices, absolutely.
Not what you want to see.
I can't... I mean, yeah. I shan't elaborate, and you all know.
I think I hate being a visual person. Wow.
Yeah. Cool. So it's the last day of February, and I don't recall if I actually acknowledged that we'd be continuing to talk about purity last week, or if we talked about like we were going into March. Because I just have no idea what day it is on any given day. But today is the last day of February, February 28th. And so we're talking about, I've dubbed this, sulfites, fining, and filtering, and other stuff people worry about. So there's stuff in your wine that causes some concern amongst some customers, especially now that we're getting more health conscious. And also because, really, I just don't think people really understand what they mean when they see things on the labels and what it means as far as their health and perhaps their enjoyment of the product. And so I kind of wanted to clear up some of these messes today. And then we're going to enjoy... I'm glad I brought this particular wine. I mentioned it on air last week as the wine I was going home to enjoy with some bratwurst. But it is such a nice, fruity, fun wine that it can actually perhaps stand up to Carrie's mixology that you've been enjoying already. So the first thing I want to talk about, so there's two main topics that we're going to talk about, right? And both have to do with that, like I said, the shelf and label appeal, right? And that's sulfites, and then we're going to talk about fining and filtering. Two kind of separate topics, but both things that are in your wine, naturally or unnaturally, and what people do to get rid of them or don't. So if your label says contains sulfites, right, and most of them do out there. Now, sometimes you see no added sulfites or zero sulfites detected, but it's important to have everybody understand sulfur dioxide is a natural byproduct of fermentation, and it is in wine naturally, and that's okay. And sulfur dioxide is very important. It's a preservative. It has been used for eons in terms of for that purpose. And of course, there is added sulfites. And what does that mean? So we're talking about, again, sulfur dioxide. It's a preservative. It's widely used not only in winemaking, but in a lot of food industries. It's got antioxidant and antibacterial properties. It prevents oxidization. It maintains freshness. But it can also, you know, with a lot of added sulfites, you can have some adverse effects. And we'll talk about those in a second. But most of the wines that we're talking about, especially in finer wine shops, where they are being shipped temperature controlled and kept cool and dark as much as possible, most winemakers now know that they don't need to add a ton of sulfites in addition to what's naturally occurring for stability's sake, which is really, really nice. And just so people understand the limits or the natural or allowable limits of sulfites when they are added. And we're talking about parts per million here. You're allowed up to, and these are German rules, but basically everybody's kind of attached onto them. In sweet white wine, you're allowed up to 450 parts per million added sulfur dioxide. Dry white wine, 400 parts per million. Dry red wine, 300 parts per million. Now, the wine that we're going to be tasting today may have 7 to 10 parts per million. really, really minimal. And the reason, especially with white wines, sometimes you can have re-fermentation, especially if there's still some added sugar in that wine. And so sometimes those sulfites will kind of stabilize it. And when we talk about filtration and fining, we'll also talk a little bit more about, you know, what they're trying to do. If you ever have had a bottle of wine that kind of tastes fizzy, maybe tangy, and isn't supposed to, of course, there are wines out there that have a little bit of effervescence. But if you're drinking just a still white wine or red wine and it kind of feels a little little soda pop-ish or something, kind of weird and fizzy. It might have been re-fermenting in the bottle. It might have gotten too hot in transportation, things like that. That's a very common thing if you have that sort of thing. Unfortunately, as common as it perhaps once was, it's much, much less common right now because people know how to ship and how to store not just wines, but, you know, beers, ciders, things like that. So people worry about if they're going to have adverse effects to sulfites. The quick test I always tell people is, and remember I mentioned it's not just in wine, they use it in a lot of foods, can you drink Tropicana orange juice? If you can drink Tropicana orange juice, you are fine with any wine in my shop, promise. It's, but I have posed that question to folks in the past, and some people have said, yes, in fact, I can't have, you know, store-bought orange juice. It does have preservatives that affect me. Now, what are those effects likely to be? A lot of people think they're headaches or things like that. Usually, sulfite reactions are more typical to involve hives, cramps, and rashes. That's what you're going to be having affect you if you're really having a sulfite reaction. Headaches are typically perhaps histamine-related, if there's a lot of histamines in the grape skins, or, of course, dehydration or overindulging are also obvious things and good things to keep in mind as it is Mardi Gras.
I'm allergic. No, you had two bottles.
You had two bottles. It hurts. But yes, those of you who do actually have a sensitivity, I'm not here to make fun. Please don't take it that way. It is an absolute thing. And if you do have that sensitivity, there are wines like the one we're going to try today that have super low concentrations of added sulfites, and that's something to think about. Now, the other part of this discussion today, the other topic that you're going to see is perhaps bottled, unfined, and unfiltered. So basically, when you're trying to decide how you want to present, and this also happens, by the way, in whiskeys and other things like that, your product on the shelf, you're thinking, okay, well, naturally, there are a lot of matters, dead yeast cells, which we refer to as the lees, in case you've ever seen bottled on, you know, or aged on lees, bacteria, tartrates, proteins, pectins, tannins, as well as, of course, little, you know, tiny microbial bits of skin, pulps, things like that. So you're trying to clear it up to the point where people will not think it's dirty, but also the more you clean up a bottle of wine, the more it really affects that bottle of wine. Now, the first process of clarification is called fining. And fining is where you add a substance, a fining agent, and it goes into the wine and it clings and creates these little enzymatic and ionic bonds with the particles that are in solution. And it makes them bond together. And then usually naturally, because of the added weight, they will gradually settle to the bottom and clarify that wine. And that's called fining. Some of the fining agents that are used, clay, egg whites, and then there's other things. But very, very commonly, you'll see things like that. And that's why when people talk about vegan wines, if you use egg whites to fine, it's no longer considered vegan friendly, things like that, which is nothing that we talked about when I got in this business. It's really come along quite a ways. And it's absolutely a valid question if you're going into your wine merchant to ask. Don't be surprised if they don't have ready answers. It's difficult to find these things out. A lot of winemakers aren't putting it out there as a very obvious thing. So if your wine merchant doesn't have an answer, please forgive them. But we certainly at our store, we'll try to find out what we can for you. So now you find it. Now you have the question of filtering and filtration. Filtration can take different forms, essentially from very rough to very gentle, depending on the filters and the screens you put it through. Of course, there's different size filters, which subsequently trap different things and different size things. Common reason that you would want to filter, especially as we were talking about whites, is to create more of a sterile environment. You may not want that wine. We've talked about malolactic fermentation when the malic acid changes to lactic acid, which is that much more creamy. It's a secondary form of fermentation that happens. Perhaps it's sweet and you don't want any leftover yeast cells to start up again and cause that re-fermentation that we talked about just a second ago. And also it gives you a little bit more, again, more clarity, and so that your wine looks crystal clear. Now, is that good? Is that bad? I have had one really, really excellent experience where I was in the French town of Saint-Joseph, and the winemaker happened to make the same vintage for several vintages of the same wine, filtered and unfiltered. And so we actually got to sit down and taste filtered wines versus unfiltered wines. The exact same wine made at the exact same time by the exact same guy in a very, very small estate. So it's not like he was taking grapes from all over Kingdom Come. And yes, it absolutely makes a difference. You can definitely tell there's more body, there's more substance, there's more vivacity to wines that have gone through, not gone through filtration. It's not saying the filtration is a bad thing. Filtration can be a very good thing. Again, it's a choice. And these people, the winemakers, have to know that that wine will be kept very stable and by the transportation, and then by the merchant, and then thence by the customer. It's entirely doable, but it's not always common. So we're going to try a wine today made by a winemaker who absolutely believes in natural wines. This is from Brienne Day from the Willamette Valley. It is her Vin de Dailly, which is a play on the French Vin de Pays, which is the wine of the country. It's a Alsace-style field blend, so Pinot Gris, Pinot Blanc, Muscat, Riesling, Müller-Thurgau, fresh and fruity, but yet dry. Mm. Just a tiny hint of, just maybe a tiny hint of sweetness. Very and nice. just really a wonderful, wonderful wine. So this is a wine, again, Brand says to whomever wants to carry her wine, and she doesn't make a precious lot of it, says, listen, you know, who's your transport company? How is it getting to these people? Make sure it doesn't go, I mean, this is not a wine that would sell off a supermarket shelf necessarily anyway, right. But this is, you know, make sure that this gets to people who are then explaining to their customers, if you see little particles or if you see tartrates falling out of solution, if you ever see those little kind of, if you open the cork and there's some crusty bits, it's totally fine. It's tartrates. They're crystallized amino acids. They're not going to hurt you. So yeah, if you ever see that, it's totally cool. And yeah, so March is coming up. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk about packagings and boxed wines and things like that. And we'll fill you in more. But thanks, guys.
Thank you. By the way, before we go.
Oh, yes.
message from a listener through Facebook last week.
Yes.
You'll love this.
Yes.
Love listening to Eric. He's so smart, so interesting. He should have his own show. Don't you get any ideas?
I wouldn't dream of it. But I do have a miraculous radio voice. And just in case you're... Well, you know, the dodgy heart thing.
There you go.
I kid. Hey, thanks very much, listener. Very much. Very cool.
Happy birthday in advance to Christine.
Ah, thank you. That's right. My lovely wife.